Reading is from the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, and beginning at verse 1. Doing good to all. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, as we look at your calling to give to the gospel of Christ, we pray that you will inspire our hearts, that we may give joyfully, that we may give as you would call us to, that we would give sacrificially as your Son has for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. It sounds very grand, this service on Thursday night. And one of the good things about becoming presenter is that you can delegate things, because the presenter, of course, is supposed to sing the service. Now, if I sang the service, there would be nobody here. So I'm going to appoint Simon as Vicar Carl to sing the service from now on. Of course, we do that very often. Giving thankfully is the theme for today. Continuing the series on vision and provision, and looking at kind of the vision of the church and the work that we've been doing with Creed Ireland on provision. About a month ago, we looked at the story of the rich young man who seemed to have everything, but actually the riches came from Jesus, looking at the gospel. And then a few weeks ago, Simon looked at the whole theme of tithing from a biblical point of view, and shared very movingly on how he was sort of coming into looking at that teaching and dealing with that at the same time as getting ready for big events in his life. So that's kind of where we've come from. And now we're looking at the teaching of St. Paul. And that teaching is something that Paul reiterates time and time again, because he talks so much about the grace of God, that everything is given to us by the grace of God, but then calls people to respond. Last Sunday evening on RTE television, there was a programme about one of our Church of Ireland bishops, Bishop Trevor Williams. Trevor was, many years ago, the person who took the Sunday morning programme on Radio Ulster. He then moved on to become leader of the Caramila community, and before he became a bishop, about 4 or 5 years ago, he worked in inner city Belfast. He's now Bishop of Limerick. And having moved to Limerick and getting used to the situation there, realising that in that part of the world, the Church of Ireland numbers are not great, he decided that he would look at the community. Guess something that we did in our community audit. And Trevor, being a broadcaster, decided, well, I'll do this with RTE television. So he put on his ordinary clothes and he went out to meet people around his diocese, not telling them who he was. First of all, he started making meals for the elderly, working in a kitchen, and then packaging the meals and taking them out, shaking hands with people on the doorstep and giving them the meals. And nobody in the kitchen, nobody in the homes knew who he was. He then went to a men's shed group. Now, I'd never heard of a men's shed group. But this is a group of men, many of whom are maybe now unemployed, and they're building a boat together. And so they're all working on this and learning from each other. And he went along and was doing a bit of chiseling and getting this boat ready. And then he went to meet teenagers in schools. Again, going as part of an RTE group and just chatting to the teenagers and hearing their views on church and on life and on the place of faith. So as far as people know up to this point, this is simply an RTE documentary and about faith, and Trevor Williams is the person out finding out views, seeing them in their workplace. Now, tonight, in the second part, we'll find out how people react to having church, to having a bishop in their community. So I'm sort of waiting to see how that goes. It'll be interesting to see. Linking church and community is at the very heart of our vision here. As I mentioned, our census about 18 months ago now, and I guess the one thing that really encouraged as we interviewed people just on the streets, that people were open and welcoming to the Christian faith and to the role of this church in the community and would encourage it further. And we're looking at schools and health and businesses. And at the prayer meeting a few weeks ago, we had Colin Patterson, one of our local businessmen, coming and sharing and just informing us of how to pray into the business community here. Our aim and our vision is to open doors, to welcome people into this building. And that's why we're making the changes, to allow this space to be used, to have it open throughout the week and to use it to its utmost. And we're aiming also to go out and to share Jesus. And that may mean differences, changes to the staffing here and how we minister here. The opportunities are there. There's a story from some years ago of a great opportunity. And of course, this is the Queen's Jubilee that's coming up, and there's already tours taking place and all that kind of thing. But many years ago, a previous queen was up at Balmoral. And the queen went out for a walk, and when she went out, the weather was fine, and she walked further than she had intended to, and it clouded over and it started to rain. And so she went to one of the crofters' cottages, and she knocked on the door. And of course, she was just dressed in ordinary clothes. She knocked on the door and said to one of the workers, "Look, could I possibly borrow an umbrella?" And the lady said, "Yeah, of course." Now, the lady had a couple of umbrellas, and she was concerned that she mightn't get the umbrella back. You know, this was just an ordinary person. She hadn't realised who she was. And so she'd one that had one of those spokes that was broken. So she took it out and she gave it to the Queen. So the Queen took the umbrella and walked back to Balmoral. And the next day, one of her footmen came, and he was all dressed up, you know, with the gold sort of up the side of his coat and very fancily dressed. And he knocked on the door and said to this lady, "I'm here to return your umbrella." And the lady said, "Oh my goodness, what an opportunity I've missed. I gave the Queen a broken umbrella." At Easter time, we want to give our best for the Lord Jesus Christ as we see more fully, more before our eyes than at any other time, the great sacrifice and love of God. On Good Friday, we have the walk of witness through Lisburn with the other churches, and that time of worship as we gather together and really coming before the cross, realizing the greatness of God as he died for our sins and our salvation. And on Easter Sunday, we begin out in Castle Gardens at 7 o'clock with that dawn service and celebrating the risen Lord Jesus. And as we move towards Easter time, we want to give thanks to God for all that he has done in Jesus, for all that he has done down through the generations. And that's why we're inviting people to consider giving an Easter tithe this year. So as we can move forward with the work here, with the ministry here, and making Jesus known. It is a great opportunity. And St. Paul talked about great opportunities. In Galatians chapter 6, he's looking there at the challenge to people to respond to the gospel. Time after time, he speaks of the grace of God and of giving generously. And here he's talking about doing good to all, carrying each other's burdens, and reaping a harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll look more closely at that a little bit later on. But if we turn to 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 1 to 5, there he's speaking about extreme generosity. Just listen to his words. "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given." Once again, starting from the grace of God. The grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." And Paul here is encouraging people to first of all experience that wonderful grace of God and then to give generously to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we turn forward a chapter, we read in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that sounds great, and you know, the words we're familiar with, God loves a cheerful giver. Actually, if we turn back to the original, cheerful can be translated as God loves someone who gives with hilarity. They just love to give, that they're laughing as they give. You'll know the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee," written by Frances Ridley Hargal. And she included the lines, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." Whenever she wrote that, she thought about it and she felt that she had to respond. And so she had this wonderful jewel cabinet and lots of ornaments that she had in her house that were, and this was fit for a countess. And so she decided that she was going to give it to the Church Missionary Society. And so she packed it up. And she said, "I never packed a box with such pleasure." This was giving with hilarity. In the parish magazine coming out, we've highlighted our areas of mission, some particular areas that we're involved with. And of course, We're involved with our link with Sudan. We're involved with Friends in Action. We're involved with Romania and a number of other links. And we love to give to those things. We love to share in mission with them. And it's certainly on my heart and on Simon's heart and on the hearts of many people here to give to that area. And we as a church love to give. We love to share. We love to be partners with others. And you'll see that we're giving generously there. And that is what we should do. Thankful giving is at the heart of the Christian faith. As we turn back to Galatians, we see in Galatians chapter 5 that here St. Paul is talking about life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. And then he illustrates those areas that are wrong. And then he goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. And then he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And then in Galatians 6 we read about doing good to all. And here we see that those who have received the Spirit are to carry others. That is our calling. We are to reach out to those who need the good news most, whether it's in Sudan or in Burkina Faso or Romania or right here on the streets of this city of Lisbon. But the challenge is, are we pleasing the sinful nature or the Spirit? Galatians 6 and verses 8 and 9. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And you know, so often we make excuses. We live our lives in the same way as everybody else. And so the distinction isn't clear to people outside. So we want to be giving to the work of God so as that distinction is clear. And then people see the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, the hope of the gospel, because it's reflected in our lives. And that hope is reflected, I think, in two ways: by our involvement in the local church, by worship, by service, by prayer, by the way that we live our lives, but also in our response to mission, in our response to supporting those in other places and those on mission here in Lisburn who want to reach out with the good news of Jesus. So we want to be living in step with the Spirit and to sow to please for the Spirit, because from the Spirit we will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's what we're to do, not to give up, to push on joyfully, generously, and full of the Spirit of God. Turning forwards to Ephesians chapter 2, and we read there once again Paul speaking about the grace of God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And we need to be clear that, you know, our works can never bring us salvation. And it is only the grace of God through the Saviour who died on the cross for our sins, who gave his all on our behalf, that we can receive eternal life. But then in response to that grace of God, we'll want to give, not in a mean way, but in a way that reflects our joy in Christ, our joy in his giving of himself, our joy in the fact of his resurrection and the empty tomb, that brings life and hope and peace and love to each one of us. And we want to move forward in the mission of Christ so that more and more people may receive Jesus. And this Easter is a great time to do that. We've already had teaching on tithing, and that's simply from Deuteronomy and from Matthew on giving 10%. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, we read those words, that it was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And the greatest riches in my life are the riches of Christ. And the greatest riches in your life are the riches that come from the throne of grace, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our calling here is to be people who bring that transformation of Christ to others. And I guess over the past month, that's the word that I've heard time and time again that really makes a difference. Those who are trying to change things in a way that is of this world are really frustrated. Their arguments don't stand up. The way that they're approaching things doesn't bring transformation. It tinkers with things at the edges, and it falls short on the truth of the Bible. But where the transformation of Jesus Christ is seen, then things can be different. Lives can be changed. People have testimonies to tell. And this afternoon at the confirmation service, with three people sharing their testimonies of what Jesus has done in their lives. And here, yes, we want to transform this building for the sake of the gospel, but only so as people can be transformed, so as they can receive that transforming grace of Jesus Christ. And at a time of need in this city, we want to bring the transforming good news of Jesus to this city through our prayers, through our involvement, through our engagement with those who are working in difficult times. And a good response to all God's grace and goodness is Deuteronomy 26 and verse 11. Be grateful for the good things the Lord your God has given you and your family. Or as someone wrote in the 19th century, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So we give thanks for God's provision, and together we seek first his kingdom, for it is in Christ that true sacrificial giving can be seen. And in response to his grace, to his great love, that we will from our hearts want to give and to see the transformation that he brings being spread and shared and changing lives. May we together urgently want the grace of God and want to generously give in response to our crucified and risen Saviour. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son and for the wonder of transformation that comes through the cross and the resurrection. As we come to this Easter season, we pray that we may meet with Jesus, that we may receive his grace afresh and be inspired afresh to give to your kingdom, to see lives transformed and to see the good news that brings hope and life and peace being brought to others. As St. Paul urged the Galatians, may we set out to do good to all for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen.